one of the nicest parts about what we do is if you give it time, it will come around to the point where you, at some point, it will be there. And it's about picking that point, though. That's probably the hardest point, is knowing where it's at, what it's doing, the beer in the barrel, and knowing where it's going, and then trying to hit it at that point where you think it's just right.
This is The Producers. I'm Danny Vallant. Ed Nolly brews sour beer at Dollar Bill Brewing in the Australian beer capital of Ballarat. In 1870, as the gold rush tailed off, Ballarat had more than 500 pubs. Panning and digging for gold was clearly extremely thirsty work. The gold is mostly gone, but Ballarat is still a beer centre, with a culture of brewing nurtured by local Federation University, which offers courses in malting and brewing. Ed and his wife Fiona are the people behind Dollar Bill Brewing. It's craft beer by name, and it's also crafted with love, care, and passion.
My name is Ed Nolly. I am the brewer, blender, and barrel caretaker for Dollar Bill Brewing up in Ballarat. Well, I've been home brewing for near on 20 years now, mostly with a friend out of high school, and he went on to work in the wine industry, and I kind of diverted into the beer industry, mostly in the kitchen in the beer in a brew pub in Canada, and then kind of we got together again. He developed his winemaking processes, and we were able to play around with some barrels and some, you know, some fancy equipment in the winery, and we put some stuff into barrels and let it age for a few years, and had some really good success, and decided that it was going to be the path that we went down. And he kept on making wine and he's still chasing the perfect Pinot, and I've gone on to make sour beer and put more beer into barrels.
Dollar Bill takes fresh fruit, honey and wort from local producers, then ferments and ages it in French oak barrels. The end products include Belgian-inspired ales, ciders, mead and barrel-aged beers. It's art, science and creativity in a glass.
It's a fairly simple kind of operation. We take fresh wort as a gypsy brewer, transport it into Ballarat, or take it from a producer in Ballarat, and then we either ferment it using spontaneous atmospheric wild yeasts and bacteria, or we inoculate it and then put it off to barrel to age. Essentially, they're all sour, so they're sour beers, and that comes from lactic acid bacteria within the barrels, so in the actual spore, the pores of the wood in the barrels. So everything goes sour, so we do sour barrel-aged beers. Some are a little bit funkier than others, so there's barrels that exhibit Brettanomyces characters, which are, you know, barnyard funk and goaty aromas and things like that, which really add some kind of complexity and interest to the product. And we do typical sour beers, and sour beers work beautifully when they're put over fruit. So fruit is basically sugar and acid and flavour. So we provide the acid component, the sourness, put it over fruit, and the fruit adds the flavour component. And then there's this underlying ethanol, ABV, which, you know, makes it enjoyable to drink.
Brewing vies with baking as the oldest craft known to humans. But what actually is this trendy innovation called craft beer? Ed explains.
Essentially, craft beer was a movement that came out of the US in the 70s as legislation changed in the 70s to allow people to homebrew legally in the US. And it came to Australia after that, and it's never been illegal to homebrew in Australia, but that movement came out of the US, and I think it was more a movement away from these larger commercial macro beers, which are produced from raw ingredients that are essentially grown for more fermentability, for higher sugar levels, better efficiencies, and not necessarily grown for better flavour. In Australia, we're coming into that too. We've been, I think, a little bit sidetracked by, you know, craft beers. Like, you know, it's a whole lot of fun. There's, you know, your flavour components are huge. You can do anything with it too. It's like it's so much fun to play around with adding different ingredients, different fruit ingredients, and different grains and different hops into and pushing those hop levels with craft beer. But I think we're coming back to that sense of we actually can produce some really good kind of malted grains in Australia from older varieties, which were grown back in the day for flavour. These guys up at Voyager Craft Malt up in the Riverina in New South Wales, they produce some magnificent malt. They won a World Malting Championship Award for their pale malt, which I think it's Valoria. And it's produced from schooner in using, again, regenerative farming practices, so caring for the land and looking after it. And that translates into the grains and then the malting process and then back into the beer. So, it's growing in Australia, like this movement towards better product. But it's been coming from the US from, mid-70s.
Barrel aging creates flavours, but blending is where Dollar Bill really makes its beer. This is the most creative part of the process, but can also be the most nerve-wracking. And that's probably why Ed loves it so much.
We enjoy the ability to kind of blend at the end. So we have multiple barrels of different kind of ferment processes, and then we put them together to make a product. And it's a little bit more art-like than science-like. So regular brewing is probably a little bit more science-like. Everything's got to be hitting numbers and hitting points, whereas the blending barrel aging and blending process is a little bit more art-like. You have the ability to kind of take different barrels and an idea of a profile of flavor that you have in your head, and then take those barrels and try and recreate that profile that you're looking for. So more art than science from my point of view. With the blending process, we have products that are created, conceptualized, brewed, and then fermented and then put off to barrel. Once they go to barrel, I mean, and you don't want to be putting bad beer off to barrel. So if it doesn't work in that fermentation process, then basically it's not going to work in barrel at all. So the fermentation process has to be thoughtful, at least thoughtful. And then some stuff will be, if it's inoculated and it has a really good, nice, clean ferment, and you put it off to barrel, it'll sour up, and it'll sour up fairly quickly the lower the amount of hops you put in there. So less hops, more sour. And then each batch will kind of have several different fermentation techniques done on it. So you'll have, that's a 10-barrel batch, and you'll do 4 barrels with inoculated dry yeast or inoculated yeast. You'll do 2 barrels with older inoculation from a previous batch, which may have larger populations of wild yeast and bacteria. And then you'll do 2, which are maybe spontaneous ferments, either straight to barrel or via a cool ship. So essentially we'll put those into barrel and give it enough time for it to develop some acidity, some lactic acid bacteria acidity. And if it develops a little bit of funk from Brettanomyces or something with residual sugars, then that's fantastic. If it doesn't, and it's nice, clean lactic acid base. And then we'll take that product, so as a collective, and then if we need to source other complexity from other barrels, we'll look at other barrels from different batches to add complexity to that batch. So there's a whole lot going on. Each product is different, but each product starts as a concept, ends as a product, but incorporates other barrels of other stuff in there. And it all has to have a certain acidic profile. So it shouldn't be, just a straight beer. If it tastes like a normal beer, it's probably not ready yet. So it's still developing acidity. It's developing funk. It's developing barrel characteristics. So we'll typically wait till we've got a nice, good acid profile and then blend some complexity into it.
Creativity is essential in standing out as a craft brewer, but good beer always has to be technically sound. how do art and science work together to create a great bottle?
You've got to have the science there. It's all about having good basic knowledge of how to create beer. My winemaking friend and I made beer down in the winery. We weren't initially putting stuff into barrels. We were just making beer. We were making pale ales and IPAs and playing around with hop bursting and dry hopping and all this stuff and whirlpooling and just different grains and all that sort of stuff. And so the science has got to be there. You've got to know how to make good beer to start off with. And then once you know how to make good beer, then and the part of exploring it is to allow those microbes to do their things. And the constraint is environmental. So if you've got temperature and humidity and certain other things that kind of play into how those barrels behave and how those microbes behave, and even the barrel selection plays a big part too. So we'll use typically French oak, because French oak's a little bit more open poured, so it breathes a little bit better, so you get this increase in Brettanomyces characters that you don't get with American oak or maybe, you know, other oaks that or other woods that aren't quite as porous. So yeah, there's that, and then you put it off to age, and then the art kind of thing comes in with, you know, picking when does the barrel ready and when is it right to blend and what can you blend it with and then putting the fruit with it and picking a good base and a good fruit to go together and it's quite a bit involved, but you've got to have that science background, that knowledge of how to make good beer to start, and then just push that good beer into a whole nother realm of interest and intrigue and complexity.
Ballarat has a strong history as a beer hub, and these days brewers of all sizes and types ply their craft in different ways. How do these many players work together in collaboration and competition?
Ballarat's a particular area of Victoria that just has some magnificent producers. We've got Powlett Hill up the road here that does some magnificent biodynamic grains, which are, I don't know if you know, biodynamic farming is a little bit like organic farming, but instead of just not doing stuff, you do stuff to promote regenerative kind of farming practices and improve the land. And they do some magnificent grains out there. They run a little stone flour mill out there, just producing beautiful biodynamic flour and of a few grains. So they do wheat, they were doing spelt, and I think they were doing emmer up until about last year. So ancient kind of grains as well, so less gluten influence on those things. And we use a bit of their stuff in our beer, so raw grains from them, and they're just magnificent. We've got Alan Cass out at AC Hops. They do they just started this little hop farm out in Ballarat, or in Dean, sorry, near Ballarat. And they just grow these kind of older, some noble varieties, some more high alpha varieties of hops, which are just, you know, beautiful local produced and a different terroir to what HPA is doing up in the Keewell Valley there. We've got Ernie down in Buninyong as well, who does some magnificent blueberries. There's Ludovino Wines, which is out in Kogel's Creek. I mean, the region's magnificent. You've got all these producers doing some amazing stuff, and if we can incorporate any of that stuff into our beer, we do.
You wouldn't make beer simply to win awards, but the recognition can make a difference. To sales, for sure, but also as an endorsement of approach and direction. Ed talks about the marvels of medals.
We won a IBA, Independent Brewers Association Championship Trophy in 2019 for our mixed culture beer, which was a straight mixed culture beer, what we like to call a pseudo lambic. So it was an inoculated lambic. So the three components of the lambic are, you know, Saccharomyces, lactic acid, bacteria, which is, you know, plantarum or something else, and a pediococcus, and then we also incorporated Brettanomyces as well, and a couple of strains of Brettanomyces on a like a 70% Pilsner, 30% wheat, and then a little bit of crystal rye malt in there as well, kind of base, into large barrels, and then let it age for about 2 years. And then in 2019, we packaged it and sent it off to the IBA, and we won a championship trophy there, which was amazing. Like, we were totally unexpected, and, you know, just entering it to be part of the industry and you know, be at these things, and to be awarded something like that is amazing. And then in 2022, we won a champion Australian beer for our Gold Teeth, which was a peach beer, which was just really nice, simple, barrel aged, not very much funk. It was a spontaneous fermented barrel aged beer, and then put over these beautiful biodynamic clingstone peaches from Ruffy, and it was just amazing event and amazing to win an award in that. And yeah, honestly, don't know how we did it, but it was a very tasty beer. So seeing the industry change from what it was, you know, 10 years ago to what it is now, and just having Australian wild and spontaneous and sour beers recognised as, you know, that highly accoladed in Australia is huge. It's massive. So it really makes us, I don't know, love what we do a bit more.
The beer is crucial, but the visual identity is a big part of creating a brand. Dollar Bill works with McGill Design Group's Craig McGill and Susan Elliott to build out their monetary Dollar Bill theme.
It is basically a monetary themed kind of label. We employed the bloke who did the original bicentennial $10 bill. He's done passport artwork and the whole currency for Papua New Guinea. He was the youngest person to do a full currency. Craig McGill up in Sydney, he does all our artwork. He's amazing, but it was all monetary themed. There's complexity in the labels as much as there is complexity in our beers. So I think that's kind of the direction we chose with that, is to kind of, you know, our labels should represent our beer, and there is, you know, if you look at them, there's a whole lot going on there. There's a little hidden tracks on each label. So a song to drink the beer to. So we're trying to create an immersive experience. And then, yeah, just the fine line artwork is magnificent. We ended a few of those in the Craft Beer Marketing Awards in the States a couple of years ago in 22, and we pulled a couple of platinum trophies out of that as well. And we engage a local Ballarat artist for some other artwork, which is our Rare Oak Society. We do a subscriber club, which is all about just getting direct consumer products. And he did the artwork for our Rare Oak Society, and that won a gold Crushy Award. So it's magnificent.
There's no point brewing beer unless you love drinking beer too. But how does Ed Nolly love to enjoy the fruits of his labour?
I would find a very nice, refined Pinot glass, preferably. Pinot or Chardonnay glass, and make sure it's cold but not too cold. Pour it and then sit down and enjoy it with friends. And friends and cheese. And I wouldn't drink, you know, more than three or four in an evening, but... you know, it's just it's more of a sharing kind of thing. So if you have friends, and that's what the music's kind of. We had Stu from Voyager Malt came past, and he said he drank one of the beers, and I think it was our Red Letter beer, and it has a Spanish song attached to it. And he never would have had the conversation. He was drinking with a friend, and they scanned the code, and this Spanish song started to play, and they got into a whole conversation of how they'd both been to Spain and worked in Spain, and this, you know, this conversation would never have happened if they hadn't scanned that little code and listened to the song whilst enjoying one of our beers. So yeah, it's really nice to hear those kind of stories too. The people in the industry are amazing. Like, the people you get to meet, the events you get to go to, and then just everyone, and the collaborative kind of nature of it. Everyone wants to do stuff together or help each other out. And I've worked in a few other industries, and it's nothing like that. Like the beer industry and brewing in general is just so much fun. That would be my favorite part of the whole thing.
Craft beer is a world unto itself. For the makers and the geeks, it's full of terminology and technicality. But it's all in service of simple pleasures. A glass of beer, fascinating flavours, and something to chat about and enjoy with friends. Ed Nolly combines art and science in his hobby turned profession, and Dollar Bill is going from strength to strength. This is The Producers, a Deep in the Weeds production. I'm Danny Vallant. Stay tuned as we talk to some of Australia's best farmers, makers and growers. Follow us on Instagram at Producers Podcast or contact us via deepintheweeds.com.au.